Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Intuition and Spirituality series. Now today I want to go back to the basics of what is spirituality and intuition. The real tin tacks basic understanding is we have a physical body and we have a spiritual body. Anything that's happening in the physical realm is part of physicality. Anything happening in the spiritual realm is part of spirituality. When we bring these two bodies together, which happens while we're in the womb, the two bodies come together. So we have our human body and we have our spiritual being. And when we bring them together, it becomes a human being. And that's where we come from. So the spirit, the physical aspect, we have all the DNA, we have a limited time frame, we live in this environment where we have access to our five senses. We need to be able to see, hear, smell, touch, and taste. And we relate to those five senses in very, very strong manner. When we're lacking in one of those, we improvise with another one will become stronger because this is part of our physicality side of it. When we look at our spiritual side of it, I tend to go right back to the basics, real easy. If it's not physical, then it's spiritual. And when people start to talk about religion or cults or beliefs or understandings or anything to do with that aspect, to me, it all belongs to the spiritual side. When it belongs to the spiritual side, there's no 100% right or wrong. We develop the way we develop. We develop physically because of our DNA, because of what we've grown up in, because of our environment, because of our beliefs, because of our understandings. Our spiritual aspect is the same, but our spirit has lived many lives before ours. It does not die when our physical body passes over. The spirit lives on, and that's that everlasting, ever eternal life. It is our spirit. As it comes back and to our bodies, to different bodies, it brings its own learnings and its own understandings. But a spirit needs to come into a physical body in order to get some understanding, some sort of a learning. So this is why spirit comes into the physical body. It comes in for a reason. It has a purpose. And we've talked about life purposes. It is not our physical life purpose. It's our spiritual life purpose that we refer to. And that's the spiritual side of it. So to achieve your spiritual life purpose, the only way to do that is the best way for you, and that is to follow your intuition. Because intuition is communication from your spirit to your physical. That's what intuition is. You get these intuitive messages that comes through, and that is what's going to help guide you. Now, just to get an understanding of exactly how I know that we have a physical and a spiritual body, this is still a little bit challenging for me to talk about. There was an incident in my life. I was 19 at the time, and I was walking down the street. I was two states away on holidays, and my sister had already, we'd been at this beer garden, what they call a beer garden, and my sister had already left to go back to the unit. We only had a couple of days before we were due to go back home and back to work. So she had left. I was saying goodbye to a group of people that we met, and I started to head back to the unit where we were staying. Now, I was feeling a little bit down, so the head was down, the body language was sort of a little bit, you know, not depressed, but a little bit down. And I was walking along. Now, I knew that there was a couple behind me. They were holding hands. I'd actually gone around them and passed them, so I knew there was people behind me. And I'm walking along, totally engrossed in my own wallowing, for want of another word, in my own stuff. And I had a tap on the shoulder. And as you do, when you get tapped on the shoulder, I turned around. When I turned around, the lights went out. Everything went. I had no idea what was going on. I had been punched in the face, king hit, so hard that I obviously hit the ground and was knocked out. I came to being dragged into the back of a car by my hair. And instantaneously knew I was in trouble. This was a random attack. There was three of them, so it was basically a pack rape in the back of the car. And the thing is with this, the thing is with this that I swore never to tell anybody about this. Unless I could help someone. And the strange thing is that it has helped a few people. I don't know how much it's helped me. I'm still get upset about it. But I get upset for other people because I know other people have gone through what I've gone through or something similar. And they've been brave enough to share. So during this attack, and this is the reason why I want to share it, the only reason why I want to share it is to let you know that we do have two bodies. And this attack gave me the opportunity to understand that. That was the silver lining. So while I was being attacked, I was feeling quite bruised and battered. As you can imagine. And I remember laying there thinking, I can't stop these people from doing what they're doing. It was not physically possible for me to stop them doing it. So I had to think differently. And I remember thinking, and again, I am not a religious person, but in a situation where you don't know who to turn to or what to turn to, I turned to my belief in God and I said, help me stop them from doing this again to anyone else. I could remember thinking it so clearly and really getting that understanding that there's nothing I can do here but maybe stop it from happening again. And with an instant, I was out of my body. I was outside of the car watching it happen. And what was really weird is there was no emotion attached to it. There was no emotion attached to it. It was just like when you're watching a movie, that there's nothing, you know, unless you get it really involved in that movie, there's no emotional attachment to it. So I just stood there basically and watched. I looked around. The area was, when it's like a full moon and you have that like a blue hue to the environment, so it's light enough where you can see, but it's got that beautiful blue tint to it. That's what it was like. And I remember looking around and thinking I should call for help, but I didn't know how to speak. And I was looking, but you saw it differently. It was different. I can say I saw things, but I didn't see them with eyes. I didn't physically see them. I was watching what was happening in front of me, and I could see. I honestly didn't recognize my face. It was swollen all on one side, and there was a lot of blood where I'd been hit. There was a lot of blood coming from the back of my head. Where the hair had been just ripped out of the scalp, and you could see blood coming down the side of her mouth. So, but it was so surreal to sit there and watch it. And I can remember thinking, oh, that looks sore. Like the side of the face was red and swollen and there was blood. And you sort of thought, oh, that would hurt. But I didn't feel any pain. I didn't feel anything going on. I just watched. There was that deep-seated, how can I help? And I knew I couldn't. I just stood there outside of the car looking in and watching what was going on. I don't know what it was. All I know is that I basically believe I'd left my body. I'd lost contact with my senses, apart from actually seeing, but that was even a little bit strange because you sort of saw through rather than saw the physical aspect of it. It was just so strange. I got a message, and look, this was a very short period of time, I can assure you, but I got this message about how to stop them from doing this again. I also got the message very clearly that it'll only stop two of them, not one. And it wasn't going to make any difference now, but it will make a difference for other people. So in an instant, I was back in my body, and I felt it, because you felt it. You felt every single physical pain that there was. You felt the head throbbing. You felt the jaw just aching. You felt it all coming back. You could taste the blood. You could just feel it all coming back, and the disgust and the horror of what was going on. The message I got, and again, I am not religious, but this is what I got. I started to pray to them out loud, very loud. And I said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." And I repeated it. "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." And I repeated it again and again and again. Each time I did, they would hit me again. And I would repeat it again. And I just kept on repeating it. They kept on hitting. I kept on going. I thought, this is what I'm supposed to do. If this is when I'm due to go, so be it. If I can stop them from doing this again, I will do what I have to do to stop them. So it became really hard to talk, hard to speak. And I changed tactics and I started a new prayer. And I only know two, and that was one of them. The other one was the Our Lord's Prayer. So I started to recite Our Lord's Prayer. I don't know whether I got the words right. Who cares? I started. And they'd had enough by then. And the hand came over the mouth, and I got to the stage where I couldn't breathe. The hands came around my throat and I couldn't breathe. I honestly thought my time was up. It was so scary. And eventually I blacked out. And I did come to, but I pretended that I was out, and they'd finished and opened the car door and threw me into the gutter. Sorry. That's how I know that we have two bodies. That's how I know that we have our spiritual side that can protect us and guide us. I honestly believe, and I don't know, I haven't got the facts, but I honestly believe two of those three never ever even got close to doing anything like that again. The other one probably would have done it many, many times. He was the most violent. But again, the only reason I'm sharing this, and I do apologize for the tears, the only reason I'm sharing it because of that silver lining. I got that understanding. And I didn't get it straight away, I can assure you. There was nothing there to start with. It was probably about 10 or 12 years later that I was reading a book about leaving your body, about astral traveling, and it all started to come together. It all started to make sense. This attack, it knocked me around a bit, but I have to be honest, actually a lot, but I have to be honest, I really, when I understood what was going on, it made it different. And there was a time there that I didn't have any emotional attachments. I get more upset talking about it like this because I have to share it with other people. But often when I'm thinking about it, it doesn't, I can go quite clinical, I can go quite analytical, and I get that understanding for it. But obviously, when you're sharing a story such as this, it is a bit challenging. It is a bit hard to share. 12 months to the day, within that week, I had another experience where I left my body, but this time it was what they call the near-death experience. I actually passed out, and that experience was so different to the first one. It was a lot more surreal, a lot more calm. I didn't want to come back at that stage, but that was a whole different thing. So it was 12 months to the day. I remember heading up the stairs from work, and I was feeling really sick, and one of the girls was helping me up the stairs. And all I remember is her saying, "Can somebody please help me? I can't hold her." And I must have blacked out then. They've got me to the top of the stairs, and they've laid me on this, you know, the old banana lounges that fold out? Now, I didn't even know we had one. And this, I was working at a bank, didn't even know we had one. But I do remember everybody looking at me. So I must have been like laying down and everybody was looking at me. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Why are they looking at me? I had no idea. And then I remember it was like, if you can imagine you're laying on a floor or down low, and then you stand up. Now you've got people all around you, and then you stand up. You expect everybody to look at you and their gaze to lift as you were standing up. Well, I was standing up, but I thought I was standing up, I was going up, but their gaze was staying down. They were looking at something on the ground still or down low, and I was moving up, and I couldn't work out why they weren't looking at me. The doctor did actually have to come in, and they had to give me a shot of adrenaline and get my heart going again. What had happened was I'd gone into this amazing space. So it was like you were following a path, but there was no path. You just didn't see anything. You didn't need to look down, if that makes sense. There was nothing to look at. But I remember it looked like around was like a fog. Now, if you can imagine like a white fog, and all of a sudden this white fog turned more into like sparkles, like glitter. And then the glitter, this is as I'm walking, and as the glitter was there, became more obvious, it then turned into like larger pieces of glitter. And there was a dark piece of glitter in between, you know, it scattered through this. And I'd look at the dark pieces of glitter, what looked like glitter or mirrors or whatever you'd like to sort of describe it as. I'd look at them. And you've got to remember, this was before mobile phones, right? But that's what it looked like. And this, like, big piece of glitter ended up, they'd look like little TV screens. And these TV screens would be playing my memories. And I'd be walking along and you could see out of this little TV screen one of my memories. And you'd go along a bit further and there was another one, and it might have been my sisters when I was little. There might have been another one where it was mum and dad, and you had all these memories come up. It was like you were almost walking through these different mobile phones, because the screens were only little and like I said, we didn't have mobile phones in those days, so I couldn't relate it to them. I called it like little TV screens because that's what it sort of appeared to me to be. And I've gone and looked further forward, and there was, this is where it gets really strange, because it's really hard to explain what you see when you have these experiences. So all I could see was, it was like a wall in front of me, but there was not a wall there. So it was like an invisible wall. You knew it was there, but you couldn't see it. And there was an opening in this wall, and I was heading towards this invisible wall. I could see like shadows behind the opening, like all standing there watching me and just like peeking around the corner and thinking, and you knew what they were thinking. They were going, what's she doing here? What's going on? And it was really, and I'm thinking, hey, I'm here, come on. But they were, telepath? I don't know. You could just sense it. I knew what they were thinking, and I wasn't supposed to be there. As I got closer, the emotion, the feeling got stronger. She's not supposed to be here. And it got closer, you know, and you sort of started to go, oh, I'm not liking the feeling of that. But the colours were just out of this world. Obviously, it's so hard to explain. I have seen my aura, and I've seen it in the physical aspect of the green, and it's a green out of this world green. Green's the closest colour you could imagine to it, but it was just so illuminant, so vibrant, and that's what the colours were like in here, and the sounds, and just the whole feeling of it. So it was really strange to get this other feeling saying, no, you're not meant to be here. Anyway, I don't quite know what happened, but I was back in my body. And the doctor had come and gone, and I'd had a shot, an adrenaline shot to bring everything back to normal. And lo and behold, I drove myself home sort of 10 minutes later. You wouldn't dream of doing that nowadays. You wouldn't be allowed to, but that's what we did then. So that was 12 months after the attack. So if I hadn't have survived the attack, I mean, I did survive the attack, but it was like I needed another lesson 12 months later. Again, it was like, again, it was 10 years, 10, 12 years later that I understood what leaving the body was all about. I understood that we have this physical and a spiritual body. So that's when I tested the theory. Now, this time it was deliberate, and for about 3 or 4 months, I tried to do astral traveling, right? So I'd read a book about it, and I thought, I want to do this. I want to leave my body. I want to see what it looks like. I want to do it deliberately. This, I want to be controlled. I want to know what I'm doing. So every night for 3 or 4 months, I would practice, you know, going into the body and trying to leave the body and all that sort of side to it. Well, I did it. I did it, but it was so quick. When you have, when you're having an astral travel or astral experience, you can come straight back into your body just like that. It can be so quick. Emotions or different things can actually create this instantaneous coming back in. So what had happened was, I distinctly remember I was flying. It was low to the ground, so it was only about, like, say, at the height of a car. I was flying along, and I can remember looking down. That's my gravel driveway. I'm astral traveling, and I was just about to head out towards the road, and I got so excited that I ended up waking myself up. So, note to self: when you're doing astral traveling, don't get too excited about it, because it couldn't bring you back really quickly. But that was my third time, and that just proved, I haven't done it again. I haven't needed to. It was like, I'm a theory tester. I like to test the theories, and that's what I did. So that's how I know. There's those three very strong reasons that I know that we have physical and a spiritual body. The best part about those experiences that I had is that it gave me that understanding and the ability to be able to share that with you. We have this physical and spiritual side to us. If we've got that, then what is intuition? Intuition, as I've said before, is the communication. It's what your spirit is trying to communicate to you, to your physical body. And this intuitive messages are there to create some type of action or a response. And it's often to do with how we make our decisions in life. I've always used my intuition to help me make decisions in life. And sometimes I've interpreted the intuitive messages, maybe not 100% correctly, but it doesn't mean the intuition was wrong. It just means how I've interpreted it wrong. We get these messages, these intuitive messages, we get them as a mental thought or a visual impression. We can get them as an emotional expression or a physical feeling. So we have all these ways that we receive this information. And it is challenging sometimes to decipher. There was one particular time I had when I wanted to do public speaking. Now, I haven't been able to. I haven't had a lot of confidence. I've been concerned that I'm going to turn into a blubbering mess like I probably just did this podcast. So I have been a little bit hesitant, which is why I've started a podcast. It was to help me to try and get over this fear. What I did was I went to this event that was on, and I really felt intuitively compelled to go. As soon as I heard it, I didn't know anything about it. I just went, yep, I'm going. There was something about it that I know I needed to go to. Now, I read that message, and I read it correctly as far as I'm concerned. When I got to this event, honestly, I sort of went, well, you know, I knew I needed to be here. Is this what I'm supposed to do? So this was a big selling event, as it usually are. So you get a lot of this information, and then, you know, they sell to you. I went, okay, I'll do it. I'll do this weekend. It was a ridiculous amount of money. But I did this weekend. I thought this is going to help me become a better speaker, help me get to where I want to be. Rah, rah, rah. Anyway, the whole event, this weekend one that I went to, was a big scam. It was ridiculous. I've never seen something so less organized in my life. And I was absolutely devastated that I paid the money I did, and I felt like I got scammed. When I was at the one-day event before I went to this weekend one, I met another lady that I knew of, and she was doing speaking. She was coaching people to do speaking, and I had met her before. And when I thought back, when after I've had this weekend and I've gone, this was really ridiculous. If it was that bad, why did my intuition send me there? Why was I meant to go there? And this is where I read the sign wrong. It wasn't that I wasn't meant to go there. I was meant to go there. That was very, very clear. I focused on the speaker instead of this other lady that I met there. That's where I read my intuition wrong. That's where I interpreted the messages wrong. I thought I was there for a particular reason, but the reason was not. I needed to be there for a reason, but I was looking at the wrong reason, and that's where I didn't follow it. So all these messages that are coming through, they're coming through for a reason. And I mean, look, honestly, the weekend that I had with these people, it was terrible. I met some lovely people, but their weekend was terrible. But it made me also realize that I love running workshops. I'm running one this weekend. I love running workshops. I love teaching people. I love to be involved in that sort of thing. And that weekend made me realize that, mate, I can do it. I can do a better job than them. Why am I sitting here doubting myself when I can do it? So that's what I got from that weekend. Anything we do, any of those negatives, there's a reason behind it. There's a reason why we were there. There's a reason. It is all happening, and that's that spiritual aspect. There's something going on there that we can't see, we don't know, but we've got to follow along with it. We've got to get that understanding to it. So that's what it's all about. We have our physical, we have our spiritual. The spiritual is our purpose in life. We don't have a physical purpose. The only physical purpose is to get from point A to point B. If we can do it healthily, that's a good thing. but it's to get from point A to point B. Our physical aspect is there to support our spirit. The spirit is the one that has a purpose in life because the spirit does not die. The physical body will leave us. The spiritual body won't. The spirit will go on to another body and another body and another body. That's this everlasting life that it is. So the takeaway here, what I want you to understand is that anything on the spiritual side, it's not right or wrong. It's just different names to it. Whether you have a religious connotation to it, whether you talk about spirits, ghosts, whether you talk about voodoo, whether you talk about Christianity, whether you talk about nothing at all, there's still that spiritual aspect. It's still all there. So there's the spirit, there's the physical, and intuition is what's connecting both of them. Intuition is the messages that we are getting from our spirit. Now, when you look at other things like clairvoyancy and psychics and things like that, they're often bringing in messages from other spirit. So it's still all part of spirituality, but they're often bringing messages in from other spirit, from other domains, other areas. Intuition is wholly and solely from your own spirit. That is why following your intuition, following your gut is so important to life. Doing what I did in the situation that I was under was what got me through. If I hadn't have done that, I don't know what I would have done. I could have ended up being a blubbering mess. I could have ended up, you know, a couple of years down the line committing suicide. But it gave me, trusting my gut gave me the ability to help others to go forward, to move on, to help other women. And they may not even know that they've been helped. But by changing the minds of those two, I might have saved somebody else from having to go through it. And I have to sit with that and I live with that, and that's what keeps me going. It gives me the ability to share those sort of stories. So that's enough for me. My goodness, I've been talking all day. if you want to get more understanding or tools for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, or jump onto my website, intuitivenature.com.au, and check out the blogs or free resources. Now, I've also got a Facebook group called Emotional Mastery. I am starting to do lives on that as of this week, and I'm going to help by doing flower readings. So when we're connecting with our intuition, we can connect through drawing, and we can draw a flower and then we can do the reading on it. Anytime we're connecting with our intuition, because we've got the physical and the spiritual coming together, we can look at the analytical side, the physical side first. So when you're looking at a flower, you could look at the petals and the leaves and the stem. So we can look at those physical aspects and then bring in the spiritual side to it, what that means, what we're looking at there. And that's how we do our readings. That's how you learn. So on Emotional Mastery on Facebook, I'm actually going to run you through how to do flower readings. You can draw your own picture. You can get your own flower image. And we're going to walk through it. So basically, it's going to be my full course, but over a period of time. So, and it's going to be free. And then what I will do is download all those videos, they're live videos from Facebook, and I'll create a small course that people can pay to do, which will be very minimal cost. So that's that side of it. Remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It is part of human nature. It is our intuitive nature. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist. Thank you for listening. I do apologize for all the blubbering. I am better, good now. and I just want to have a shout out. I've just got people from America, from Perth, from Ireland, from all over the place. It's so exciting to see. So I want to do a couple of shout outs and say thank you. I can't remember the names now of the towns that I was looking at in Canada, Brisbane, everywhere. It's just delightful. I'm loving it. Say hello. Tell me that, you know, you've listened to the podcast, and I'll say good day back. So all the very, very best. Have the great week, and I'll see you again next Thursday at 9 o'clock. Bye for now.